On four different Mondays throughout April and May, the New York Foundation for the Arts presents Surviving in the Arts, Points of Entry, a series of conversations with directors of some of the most significant presenting organizations. Time and locations for these events will vary. For more information, call 212-366-6900. That's 212-366-6900. And one more time, 212-366-6900. This has been a public service announcement of WBAI on behalf of the New York Foundation for the Arts.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York, where it's just about 10 o'clock, and it's a hub of activity in our tally room. We're going to have fun tonight. This is Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if I could, they would. Oh, they live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but they live on.
Oh, boy, we almost didn't make it that time. One thing you don't realize when you're listening to the radio, you don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. The franticness, the running around rooms, pushing people out of the way, and papers, and all kinds of logic collisions. Well, that's what brings you a quality radio program, hopefully. And tonight is going to be a two-way radio program because we're going to hopefully get something back from our listeners, besides the feedback that we always get. We're going to get some support as well so that we can keep on going in the tradition of WBAI, the fine tradition of what's probably the most interesting radio station in New York, if not the country. It's 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. My name is Manuel Goldstein. This program is Off the Hook, and we're here every week talking about some of the more interesting aspects of high technology. It's one thing to talk about the new machines and the new software and all the kinds of things that are going on. But it's another to look at the human element of it. And by that I mean how human beings are affected by the actions of machines. And you may say to yourself, well, machines don't have actions. Human beings are the ones in control of the machines. Ah, yes, that makes sense. But how quickly do we forget that human beings are the ones in control in the end? It's really very simple. We never have to become slaves to technology, not unless we want to. And there are so many of us out there that want to. So many of us that follow without thinking. Spring is here again, in the immortal words of Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. And spring being here again means it's time for the WBAI Spring Marathon. And this program is not going to be any exception because we're here to ask for your support so that we can keep going and keep bringing you more things like what we're about to bring you tonight. And I guess the best way to start is with a tale of woe. And you know how tales of woe always seem to involve the phone company. Oh, this is quite a story. And we're going to couple this with an international link. So you can see the relation between phone companies here and phone companies there. It's really quite something. Well, this all begins with the former New York telephone, which has now become 9X. That's right, 9X, the New York, New England, and the unknown. Well, I think the unknown has taken over because nobody there really seems to know what's going on. Nobody seems to know what the future holds. Nobody seems to know how to operate the present, or anything else for that matter. We've had run-ins with the phone company before. You know, I think everybody that has a phone line installed has run-ins of some sort. And after a while, you sort of become used to them, you know? You sort of almost expect for things not to work. But I'll tell you, what has happened over the past several weeks has been phenomenal. Phenomenal in incompetence, in surprises, technical foul-ups and blunders that you just could not believe. All right. To set the background a little bit on this particular story, we needed to get some new phone lines installed over at 2600 Magazine, and we also needed to change some things around, you know, switch some lines around, disconnect some lines, put in new lines, that kind of thing. You know, what people do during their lives. Well, we expected it not to quite work out all that well. I mean, they managed to install a line, but then 3 days later, if you call that line, it was disconnected. Yeah, it was a recording 3 days after a new line was put in saying the new line was disconnected. Now, for some reason, there is a computer out there, and nobody at 9X can explain this. Everybody has tried. I do have to give credit. There are people at 9X that are trying. There are people at 9X that care. But it doesn't matter because there are too many people who don't care, who don't understand, and there's too many computers that have been programmed in such a poor manner that they always win in the end, and whatever it is they say goes. Case in point, this poor phone number that we got that keeps getting disconnected every 3 days or so, it just keeps happening. It's pointless to keep a phone number like that because you can get the assurances of the supervisor of supervisors who will say it's not going to be disconnected this time. We're going to stop this, and then 3 days later, of course, it's disconnected. Nobody knows why. It just happens. Then, after this cursed phone line was installed, we received another phone line. Except this phone line was what we call the mystery line because nobody knows where it went. It didn't belong to us. It was not our phone number. It was somebody else's phone number. And the way we were able to try this was we were able to dial the magical number of 958, which is something that hackers discovered many years ago. In fact, let's see if we can get a line here. Try this line over there. Okay. If we dial out on a phone exchange and we dial 958, we should get our phone number back. Let's see if it works here. May not work here.
2793409.
Okay. Now you have one of our secret numbers too, because that's not the one we give out over the air. But that's what you get if you dial 958. It works in New Jersey now too, which is a totally different phone company, although they have a similar mentality. And that's how we found out our phone number. The phone company now tells you to dial that so that you can figure it out yourself because they don't want to be bothered, and most of the time they don't even know. So in this particular case, we were getting a phone number that was not like anything they told us that we would have. It was somebody else's phone number, and we had no luck finding out who it belonged to because we would call the number and nobody would answer. We had no idea where it was going. I mean, do we make phone calls on this thing? Do we run up their bill? We might get arrested if we do that, but the phone is going into exactly where we want the phone to go into. It's just not our phone line. Where is our phone line? Maybe it's going into somebody else's place. Maybe they're making calls off of our dial tone. I mean, you take your life into your hands when you get a phone installed these days. Okay, now we're getting to the good part. they had to make a house call. They had to make a house call to install some new lines. This was the big trip. They were going to install a bunch of new lines. They were going to install a service called IntelliDial, which I'm going to tell you all about. IntelliDial is this rather nifty service that 9X offers that allows you, if you have several phone lines, to have some services in your residence. You don't have to be a business to have these services. You can transfer calls. You can pick up other lines from other lines. You can put calls on hold. Yeah, big deal. I know. You can do it on any phone. But for 9X, it's a big deal. And the best part of it is Touchtone service is included, so you don't have to pay an extra fee for Touchtone service. So that's kind of neat in and of itself. The problem came when they had to make a house call to install some of these lines, and we waited and we waited. You know, we had to pick a date 2 weeks before they could actually come out. So it was a joyous occasion when the day finally arrived. People took off from work. People took off from school. Everybody sort of gathered around in a festive atmosphere. Today was the day that the phone company was coming. Except the day went by, breakfast time turned into lunchtime, and the sun began to go down, and the phone company was not there. Oh, it was gnashing of teeth and curses being thrown around. We called the phone company and we said, wherefore art that phone company? Where'd they go? What's wrong with you people? And they said, well, we couldn't find it. We couldn't find your address. They couldn't find our address at the phone company. They put phones in every place in the world, and they couldn't find our address. Do you think they would call us and ask us where we were? No, they couldn't do that. That made too much sense. So they just didn't show up. They just didn't show up at all. The phone company. Now, you got to figure, you know, what entity has lines running all over the place? They must know where those lines go. They must know where their wires are. So you give them an address and they can't find it? You know, maybe they could just run a voltage check down the wire and follow it or something. I don't know. There's got to be a way when you have a wire in somebody's house that you can find the house. So the upshot is they weren't able to come by. And they made an appointment for another week. That's right. We had to wait another week for them to come by. They couldn't just come by the next day because there's all kinds of bureaucratic paperwork that has to be processed. So, another week went by, and the joyous day once again arrived. And this time, midway through the day, somebody, in fact, did show up. And they said, you know, there aren't enough lines coming in here. We're going to have to call the splicers. Now, wouldn't that have been something to have figured out beforehand? That they didn't have enough lines in the first place to place the order, so now they have to wait another week to get the splicers to come in, and then they're going to send these other people back who hopefully will remember how to find the house in the first place. And I should point out that it took three vans to tell us this. Yeah, three vans came by to tell us that they couldn't finish the job. That's only part of the story. I mean, this can go on all night long. I mean, this is only one small story in a big city. Everybody has a story. I've heard them all. There's 9X voicemail, okay? I want to play for you an example of 9X voicemail. I have access to this line, don't I? Okay. They're playing with the phones here, of all things. Now, you see, this is it. We don't have a choice. We do not have a choice. I'm going to demonstrate something to you right now. Right now, we're gonna prove something, okay? There is competition. Judge Green allowed for competition in the long-distance phone market, but he did not allow for competition in the local phone market. So what does that mean? Well, that means that if you're not happy with one phone company, you can go to another. And when you have competition like that, it tends to mean something. Now, let's use this as an example. Okay, we spend a lot of time criticizing long-distance companies and local companies. We just do. That's what we're here for. But there are certain advantages to the long-distance companies. Now, let's get a phone. Let's get a dial tone, rather. Okay? And, by the way, that's 9X's dial tone. We don't have a choice. If we want to make a phone call, we have to use 9X. So we're going to use 9X. And call AT&T. Let's see what happens.
Thank you for calling AT&T. You have reached the Customer Account Servicing Center. If you are calling with questions about local charges, would like to make payment arrangements, or are inquiring about your balance due, please contact your local telephone company. That number is located on either page 1 or 2 of your local telephone company's portion of the bill. If you are calling with questions regarding your long-distance service or billing, please hold for further assistance.
Well, the point here is, it seems like somebody's home. You have to sit through recordings sometimes. Or rings, that never seems to stop.
Thank you for calling AT&T. All of our representatives are currently serving other AT&T valued customers.
Yeah. Okay, well, the fact is you'll get that recording if you call at 4 in the morning. There's valued customers calling at all hours. But, in the end, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, you will talk to somebody. Now, what if we have a question about our 9X bill?
Thank you for calling 9X. If you are calling from a touch-tone phone, press 1 now. If calling from a rotary phone, please wait for a 9X service representative.
Okay, let's press 1.
To help us direct your call, listen to the instructions and respond by pressing the buttons on your telephone. If you are calling about your bill, press 1. If you are calling about your long-distance calls, press 2. If you are calling about a repair problem, press 3.
I'm calling about my bill.
To find out how much you owe or to report a payment or make payment arrangements, press 1. To ask questions about your long-distance calls, press 2. To speak with the 9X billing department, press 3.
Yeah, I want to speak to a person.
Please stay on the line. The 9X billing department will help you.
This I gotta see.
The 9X Resident Service Center is closed. We are open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., except holidays. If you are experiencing difficulty with your dial tone...
Yeah. If I was experiencing difficulty with my dial tone, I couldn't call. Well, you have... Not only do they close down at night, but you have to go through 2 minutes of touch tones to find out they're closed. And you know why? Because there's no competition. You're stuck with them. That's why. So, to continue with the story, we were forced to get something known as 9X voicemail. Now, I want to demonstrate 9X voicemail, too, as long as we're demonstrating things here tonight. And you can see what a marvelous service it is. We were forced to get it because with IntelliDial, with this new service they offer called IntelliDial, there's really no such thing as a busy signal. You have to make a decision on all your phone lines. If it's busy, where does it go? You know, well, I like it to go to a busy signal because that's what busy means. It means that you're on the phone and you don't wish to be disturbed. But no, you can't do that. You have to have it go to another line that accepts calls. And so I said, well, can I have it go to the same line so that way they'll get a busy signal? And they said, no, of course you can't do that. You have to make it go to another line. So they said, why don't you get 9X voicemail so it can go there when you're on the phone? And I said, sure, why not? Let's just test this service out and see how bad it is. So we got that service, and let's demonstrate it now. Let's call right into 9X voicemail, where we now have an account, and we can hear what it's like.
You have reached the 9X voice messaging service. If you have a mailbox on the service and wish to access it, please press pound.
Okay.
Please dial your mailbox number.
Okay, here's the mailbox number. Didn't think I was going to play it on the air now, did you?
Emmanuel Goldstein.
Please dial your password.
Okay, I'm certainly not going to play that on the air.
You have no new messages in your mailbox and 2 saved messages. Main menu. To hear your messages, press 1. To change your personal options, press 3.
Not much of a choice, is there? But let's press 3 and see what happens.
To change your greeting or recorded name, press 1. To change your password, press 2. To back up to the main menu, press star.
All right, let's change our greeting. I want to test something here.
To change your greeting, press 1. To change your recorded name, press 2. To back up, press star.
We don't want to back up. Let's listen to the greeting first.
Your caller is now here.
Hello, this is Emmanuel, and I don't seem to be around. So, why don't you leave a message at the sound of the beep or tone or whatever? Thank you.
To keep that greeting, press 1. To record a new greeting, press 2.
Well, I don't think I want to keep that. Let's start a new one.
Record your new greeting at the tone. When you have finished recording, press pound.
Hi, this is Emmanuel. I don't seem to be in. If you're lucky, this 9X voicemail thing will take your message, but in all likelihood, it'll erase it or do something horrible to it, because we all know what an incompetent company 9X is. So if you have any faith at all in their technology, start talking at the sound of the tone. Otherwise, hang up and send me a letter. Thank you.
Your caller is now here.
Hi, this is Emmanuel. I don't seem to be in. If you're lucky, this 9X voicemail...
Okay, well, we all heard it. Now, my point in doing this is... This is 9X's system. I'm paying to use 9X's system. Now, will they allow me to say whatever I want to say on their system, or will they get angry and cut me off? Well, I've cast the die. Let's see what happens now. The reason I think they're going to get angry is because they also offer this other service known as... Oh, where is it? I have a whole pamphlet on it here. It's called Call Mover Service, or Call Mover Plus Service. It's what's known as a customized intercept. In other words, when you call a number that's been disconnected, you can put your own voice on it now and tell people what your new number is. Well, we got this service. I thought, great, this is going to be fun to play with. And they gave me an 800 number to call. And I called the 800 number, and of course it wasn't working. Of course, it didn't recognize the phone number. The password wasn't working, and nothing was right. Finally, they got that fixed, and I got in, and I was able to change the recording. And I changed the recording to something like, this is, you've reached an old number, please call this new number now, and isn't technology wonderful, and things like that, you know? Apparently, that offended them. They went in, they listened to the message, and they went back, and they recorded their own message instead. Their own message, which includes the name and address of the new number. Now, I never asked for the name and address of an unlisted phone number to be given out on a recording, but apparently they felt that that was the default setting and that's what they had to do, and they also thought that by saying anything other than the name, number, or address, it's unauthorized. You're not allowed to say it. Even though it's a number you're paying for, you're not allowed to say anything else on this recording. It's utter imbecility, if such a word exists. So I don't very much recommend the... Call Mover or Call Mover Plus service at this point in time. We're going to play with it some more and see what happens, and hopefully next week we'll have an update on that particular thing. That's the 9X saga for now. It's quite a story. Quite a story, and I know there's other people out there with similar stories. If you've ever experienced anything like that, well, you know exactly the kinds of things that that await you. All right, now we have a similar story that takes place in a foreign country, far, far away. Yes, you thought it was just 9X that had all kinds of problems. Well, it's not. We told you a few weeks ago about the problems in India. Well, this week... we're going to tell you about the problems in Kenya. Kenya has long enjoyed a reputation as the one country in sub-Saharan Africa that works, relatively speaking. Things work over there. It has decent highways, well-managed game parks, local governments that provide a modicum of social services. Still, there are constant reminders that you're living in the developing world. Heavy rains usually mean blackouts, lasting as long as 36 hours. Unless you have a government minister living in your neighborhood. And the Nairobi City Council, which recently announced it was bankrupt, can take weeks to pump out an overflowing septic tank or repair a broken water line. Perhaps the most maddening aspect of life in Kenya, and one that continues to deteriorate to the annoyance of the Western Press Corps and United Nations bureaucrats who have made Nairobi their African headquarters, is the telephone service provided erratically by the state-owned Kenya Post and Telecommunications Corporation, known as KPTC. Consider the local phone call. On any weekday morning, simply communicating with my office or any downtown Nairobi number from my home on Nairobi's outskirts takes a minimum of 35 or 40 tries. I used to curse and slam down the phone in frustration, but now I've come to savor the weird variety of technical failures that greet my attempts to get through. These include A, a busy signal, B, dead silence, C, dead silence followed by an inability to disconnect the call, D, an out-of-order tone, E, a taped message in Swahili announcing that the number has been changed, F, a low guttural ring that sounds vaguely like a human belch, G, a message in English and Swahili advising me to try the call again later, and H, my favorite, crossed wires. For some reason, this screw-up always interjects me into a conversation at an auto insurance company or an Indian-run jewelry store. The main reason for the growing phone mess is a standard African syndrome, crumbling infrastructure and lack of money. According to officials I talked with at the KPTC, Nairobi's telephone exchanges are overloaded. Most have twice as many phone lines coming in as they do going out. The pressure to expand telephone capacity is growing more intense as the city's population explodes. It's up to 3 million now. But cash is unavailable, especially since Western nations and the World Bank suspended most development aid in 1992 to protest the Kenyan government's corruption and resistance to democratic reforms. Even maintenance has ground to a halt. Exchange equipment and overhead and underground lines have disintegrated. When it rains heavily, much of Nairobi's phone system is knocked out for hours or even days. The red tape-laden and underpaid bureaucracy hasn't helped matters. My phone service has been shut off 3 times without notice for various technicalities. Sound familiar? Each interruption requires a trip 15 miles out of Nairobi to a ramshackle office in a cornfield, where I plead with KPTC functionaries and dangle the promise of Johnny Walker Red Label. Then, I should try that actually, then there's the friend in the press corps whose international phone service was cut without warning one morning because she was told by the KPTC clerk, "Your bills are too high." The friend pointed out that her news agency had paid every phone bill on time for the past 20 years. The man was unmoved. She got it restored 12 days later after pleas, threats, and finally a call to the Minister of Communications. In Nairobi, merely getting a telephone installed can be a lengthy ordeal. Typical is the resident recently described in the Nation newspaper who applied for a phone in 1987. Last month, he received a letter from the phone company informing him that they had processed his request, but that the engineer who was to install his phone had gotten lost looking for the applicant's house. Unless the company was provided with a detailed map by March 1st, the letter went on, the entire procedure would have to begin again. Beyond mismanagement, there's also blatant theft. Last fall, one American correspondent I know received a call from a phone company clerk notifying her that her predecessor still owed $500 in unpaid phone charges. She went to headquarters and paid the man in cash, then later learned he was running a freelance scam within the phone company office. Even Nairobi's telephone directory bears the stamp of incompetence. Prepared in collaboration with a Portuguese publisher, the 1993 phone book quickly became the city's biggest joke thanks to a bizarre alphabetizing system that rendered it virtually useless. Some Nairobi residents were listed under their first names, some unmarried women were found under M for Miss, and the Aga Khan was listed under H for, what else, His Excellency. The 1994 directory hit the streets last month with typically chaotic results. Although the book is supposed to be distributed free by the government, most copies were stolen by KPTC workers and are now being hawked at Nairobi traffic circles for $8 apiece. Of course, it could be worse. In the region around Lake Naivasha, 50 miles west of here, gangs stripped valuable copper telephone wires from poles strung along 70 miles of highway. The phone company lacks the cash to replace the stolen cables, and the entire population has been without service for nearly 2 years. That is from an article called Can You Hear Me? Oh, boy. And that comes from the March 28th edition of the New Republic. So phone service, it kind of sucks everywhere, doesn't it? But, you know, when it's bad here, you feel real moral outrage because we say that we're the leaders. We say we're the leaders in telecommunications and technology, and yet incompetence abounds. That's why it's important to speak out, say something, and let people know when something like that happens. Well, I feel I've let enough people know about this. There's a lot more to let you know about, but we have to stop now because we need support from our listeners in order to continue. That's very nice. We're up to $115, and we haven't even asked for any calls yet. Usually, it stays down to zero until we make a plea. But that's really nice. I appreciate the people that were motivated to call in before we even asked for anything. We need your support, obviously, because this is a community-run radio station, and you are the community. Actually, we all are the community, and we run the station in the ways that we can run it, and we need our listeners to run the station in the ways they can run it. Our telephone number is 212-279-3400, and while any pledge is helpful, the following pledges will certainly be most appreciated. $75 pledge will get you a full year of 2600 magazine, which I'm currently holding up to the microphone. 2600 magazine is the Hacker Quarterly. It's a magazine that I'm the editor of, and we've been publishing now for 10 years. This is our 10th anniversary. Can you believe that? Been doing this for 10 years. We started as a very, very small, underground, Xeroxing it late at night in other people's offices type of magazine, or newsletter even, and we've expanded, and we've expanded because people out there were interested. We're interested in learning, interested in finding out about technology, and it's because of that you can now find us all over the place, in different countries, at newsstands, that kind of thing. For a pledge of $75, though, 2600 magazine will find its way to your home for an entire year, and you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about getting in trouble. You don't have to worry about the authorities coming and knocking on your doors, because it comes in a plain brown envelope with no mention of 2600 anywhere on it. So I know that's a concern of people, and not because the information contained in here is illegal or anything like that. It's because of the overreaction of people in charge. They think that any information is potentially bad, and people that seek out information are potential troublemakers. Well, they're right about that. We are potential troublemakers, aren't we? And if we all stick together, then we'll learn a lot from each other. But we're not sticking together yet, are we? There's nobody on the phones. 212-279-3400. Remember, we take Visa, we take MasterCard, and that makes it a lot easier because you can spread your payments out however long you need to spread them out for. And it's also good for us because we don't have to wait for your check to arrive. It shows up the next day through the magic of computers. 212-279-3400. You know, we have to use 9X to get through. I know, it's a catch-22. Here we are complaining about 9X, yet we need to use 9X. That's a sad fact of life, but that's the way it is. Through radio programs like this and through radio stations like this one, people can become aware of the inadequacies in technology. They can be aware of choices. If an alternative to 9X comes along, you'll hear about it here on WBAI. 212-279-3400 is our phone number. Please make a pledge of whatever you can afford, and a $75 pledge will go a long way towards helping us, and it'll bring 2600 magazine to your home for a year. It'll also bring the WBAI program guide. We still have no calls. Boy, that's kind of surprising. We usually have the switch. You know, maybe 9X got angry and disconnected our phones. That's a possibility. But in all seriousness, other radio stations cannot do this. Have you ever heard other radio stations going on for that long about 9X or any big corporation? No, you don't. And it's not because they don't want to. Everybody's got some sort of a complaint they want to get off their back. Everybody has experiences like this. But you can't say it in a public forum, because if you do, you'll get somebody powerful angry at you. And if you get powerful people angry at you, they'll do things like pull the support of the radio program. Well, this radio program is supported by you, so don't pull your support. Show your support. 212-279-3400. And again, it's our spring fundraiser. This is the first day of our spring fundraiser. and we really need to see some people out there. We'll be able to continue with the radio program. We have a few more interesting things, actually quite a few more interesting things. We're going to talk about the Hope Conference coming up. We're going to have a special, actually two special guests coming in. I have a fiber optic update and news from the cellular world. That's right, we have some cellular updates, a lot of questions that some of you have been asking out there. Well, we have some answers, and we also have two people on the line, which is good. 212-279-3400. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect a full switchboard. We got this last time, and I know the other shows have been getting full switchboards too, so don't diss us. 212-279-3400. We know you're out there because people show up at the 2600 meetings. They contact us on the internet. They certainly call during non-marathon weeks to ask questions and give comments and experiences of the phone company. Well, if you want us to be here for you in the future, we need to know that you're out there for us now. 212-279-3400. I know you're sitting out there listening, thinking this doesn't apply to you. It does. It does, because you're one of a very special group of people. And a very special group of people are people that can make a big difference. You know, there's a lot of radio stations that just play music, that just have religion or you know, meaningless talk 24 hours a day. And it's sad because they don't get anywhere. They don't make any changes. They just, maybe they report on what's going on in the world. Maybe they play the same songs over and over again, but they don't do anything. Here at WBAI, we do things. We make changes. We get people together. We exchange ideas. And it makes a lot of difference. Two people coming together turns into four people coming together, turns into an entire community. That's how it all begins. But it doesn't come for free. We need your support. 212-279-3400. One call on the line. We have capacity for seven. So people out there, every one of you can add to that. And when we get up to seven, then we can move on to the rest of the program and the other things that we want to bring you for this particular 2 hours. Because we're on for 2 hours tonight. We're on until midnight. 212-279-3400. That's our phone number here. And we have an update on the Hope Conference, which is Hackers on Planet Earth. That will be taking place in August. Now, that's something else that has come about because of the support of the community out here, both the radio community and the hacker community and the technological community and everything else out there. So show your support, 212-279-3400, to update people on Hackers on Planet Earth, which is known as the Hope Conference. It's an opportunity to feel the real magic of hacking instead of hearing about how we're about to destroy the world in a cheap tabloid or something like that. It's going to take place August 13th and 14th at the Hotel Pennsylvania. Yes, we have a location now, the Hotel Pennsylvania, right in the middle of bustling New York City. It's right down the block from here, in fact. That's on 7th Avenue and 34th Street. And we're going to have conferences of all sorts, things that you just could not imagine. And it's all going to be brought to you by hackers. All kinds of things on cellular phones, hacker videos, surveillance demos, hacker superstars from all around the planet. And that's going to be coming your way in August. So that's something that we'll be updating you on, something that a lot of BAI people, I hope, will get involved in. 212-279-3400. Show your support for Off the Hook. And for $75 pledge, receive a full year of 2600 Magazine, the Hacker Quarterly. If you already get 2600... then you can still pledge, and there's all kinds of other things that we are offering as well. Simply ask our tally room volunteers, and they will be more than happy to guide you through the list, because there's all kinds of neat things there. And with every pledge that we get, it adds up. We're up to $200 now, which is great, but we're still a bit behind. We're actually quite a bit behind, to be honest. 212-279-3400. Remember, we take MasterCard and Visa and those nice things. And we really need to hear from you. Just two more people now will make a big difference, because whatever those two people pledge will be added together, and that will be added to the 200 we already have, you know, and by the time we're off tonight, we'll be that much more ahead in the whole game. You know, that's how it works. You know, one person starts it, somebody else continues, and before you know it, you have dozens, hundreds, thousands. It's something I've seen many, many times, you know, because we've been through a lot of these fundraisers. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been through these fundraisers, too. And they can be kind of tiresome sometimes. Yeah, they can be really draining. And believe me, they can be draining on the people on the radio. But when all is said and done, you've gotten somewhere. You've accomplished something. You've built something out of nothing. And right now we're at the beginning. We're at the beginning of a fundraiser, and we need to build up the momentum. 212-279-3400. We have three calls on the line. Now, that's going to make a huge difference. And if you don't believe me, in a couple of minutes, we'll have a new number to put up there, and that number will seem significantly better than 200. At least I sure hope so. 212-279-3400. Please give us a call. Please be part of this process. It doesn't feel bad. You know, when you call in and you give money to a station like us, it feels great. I know, because I've done it. You know, I think most of the people on the air here have done it. It would be kind of hypocritical if we just asked for money and didn't actually put more into this, even though we're not getting paid for what we do here, and we simply grind ourselves into the ground, bringing all kinds of interesting radio programs to the air. But that's not enough. We all know that we have to put money in as well. I mean, it's true. It's the only way we're going to keep going. Case in point, you read the newspapers recently? Have you heard about WNYC? That's the city-owned radio station. It's a public radio station. It's a non-commercial station, but it's in the commercial part of the dial. Now, I'll explain what that means. Below 92 is what we in the radio business refer to as the non-commercial ghetto. That's where the FCC has mandated any station below 92 on the dial must be non-commercial. So you have college stations there, and you have some NPR stations. And this is a bone of contention with me. A lot of religious stations wind up down there below 92. I happen to take offense at that because I think if you're peddling religion, you're peddling a product of some sort, and that's very commercial. That's my point of view on that. And by having religious stations down there, you're taking up valuable non-commercial frequencies that could be used by colleges or community groups or what have you. Okay, so you may ask, what is WBAI doing at 99.5 FM? I mean, you're non-commercial, right? You should be below 92. Why are you above 92? Well, it's an interesting story, but basically this radio station was donated to us by a commercial entity. And we could, theoretically, go commercial. We could do that. We could, although it would go against the Pacifica Charter, but we could sell this station and make a tidy sum, and there'd be another commercial station in New York. Now, that is something that there are people here in this building right now who would give their lives to prevent that from happening. They would lay down in front of whatever it is that would come in to do that before that would actually happen. However, at WNYC, that is exactly what they are now talking about because of our esteemed mayor, who has no conception whatsoever of what non-commercial radio is all about, or what radio is all about, for that matter. He sees a radio station at 93.9, which is also above 92, and he can figure it out, I guess. He figured out that it was a commercial frequency and not a non-commercial frequency. And so he said, well, I guess we could sell this station and make a lot of money. We can make a lot of money for the city. Now, the problem is, what happens to this radio station that exists? Now, if you've been reading the papers recently, you might have seen a few solutions. They want to merge it with another radio station, WNYE, in Brooklyn, and maybe start another frequency somewhere. Well, that's out of the question. There are no frequencies available in New York. Every single frequency is taken. They cannot start anymore. The only solution would be to move it to another station, take over another station, and operate at less power. Now, what I can't understand is the people who are being quoted in the newspapers are saying this is a good deal for everybody concerned. How is it a good deal? How is that a good deal when you're taking an existing radio station and moving it to a less powerful point on the dial, probably inside the non-commercial ghetto, and obliterating another radio station on top of that, just so the city can make some money and so that there's another commercial radio station on the dial? It goes to show that when radio is put in the hands of people that don't understand, bad things happen. Fortunately, WBAI is not in those hands. We're not owned by the city. We're owned by the Pacifica Foundation, and they have a very good sense as to what radio is all about, what non-commercial radio is all about. The important thing here is that we all recognize, what Pacifica recognizes, that this is a valuable radio station. We want to remain here at this point in the dial. We want to remain right smack in the middle of the commercial dial, because that way it's kind of like in your face, you know? You reach us when you're going between Z100 and KISS. You kind of pass by and you get stuck, you know? People hit us by accident and they never leave. Now, if you stick us down somewhere in a less powerful frequency, you'll never get that opportunity. You'll never find us. There'll be people out there that will never hear WBAI. That's the importance of it. And yeah, you could say that you can make millions of dollars with a commercial frequency. And we have a commercial frequency, and we're not making millions of dollars with it. So there. We're going to remain non-commercial. We're going to remain right smack in the middle of the FM dial, and we're going to do it with your help. Right? 212-279-3400. Show us that you're out there. Show us that you care. Show us that you want 99.5 FM to remain right where it is and that it means something to you. Show us that the Giuliani approach will not work for this radio station and that our listeners will stand up for us and keep us going. 212-279-3400. Please show your support. There's never been a better time than now. Okay, I've said all I can possibly say on that. It's one caller on the line, and I think there should be a lot more than that. 212-279-3400, please give us a call. All right, we've talked about the phone company, we've talked about Kenya, we've talked about the Hope Conference. What should we talk about next? I guess we could... program over the past year or so. Fiber has been sent to federal prison in Schuylkill, Pennsylvania, which is a really, really horrible thing to have happen to somebody like that. And, you know, it's a minimum security place, but having been there myself, having visited him, I can tell you it is living hell. Having talked to him on the phone more recently, I can tell you that he's really feeling it as far as the monotony, the loneliness, just not being a part of things out here. And I can tell you that he really misses this place. He really misses the radio show and, of course, everything that goes on in the world of technology. Now, Walter is a friend of Mark's, who is Fiber's real name. And is your microphone on, Walter?
Is it?
Yeah, it sure sounds like it is. Okay. You saw Mark...
Saturday morning.
This Saturday. So you want to update us as to how he's doing?
Well, he's actually during the visit, he's always in good spirits all the times I've been visiting him. Mm-hmm. But of course, he's always going to be happier when someone's visiting him. I haven't talked to him on the phone lately, but when I was there, he was actually having fun. We were joking around.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed too. It's you know, when you think of it, you can only visit him on a weekend, and he can only get four visits. Is it four or five? For a month.
Something like four or five.
Four or five visits a month, and that's it. And the rest of his time, he pretty much has to do whatever it is they tell him to do, whether it, in the winter, he had to shovel snow 8 hours a day. Now I think he has to wash dishes or some menial thing like that. And there's so many things he cannot do. For instance, last week, we were looking at the book by Michio Kaku that we were offering on the air before called Hyperspace. And it's a book that Mark would simply love to read. And we have to figure out a way to get that to him because they don't allow hardcover books. So we have to figure out a way to send this guy a book so he can stay sane. This is the kind of garbage that we have to deal with. There's also been all kinds of problems with medication. They have not been giving him the medication that he's supposed to be getting. And we've been going through every channel possible to get the right things to him. And we're just meeting with brick walls. So
he's still not getting the medication.
You talked about
one medication. Yeah, he's still not getting it.
That's that. Basically, what this boils down to is that Mark needs a particular type of medication to ward off infection that he's susceptible to. When we brought him there in January, they sent back that medication. They sent it back to his house with his clothes. And they have not given it to him since. They've given him a substitute, which, according to his doctor, is not a substitute. We had his doctor contact the prison. His doctor said that he called the prison 8 times and was each time was not connected to anybody that was in charge, and it was extremely frustrating thing to have happen. And so now we're looking at legal action of some sort. But the fact of the matter is, while we're doing this here, he's sitting behind the wall there, doing God knows what. You know, not allowed to read more than a certain amount of material in a particular week. He's not allowed to have more than, what, 4 books or 5 books in total. He has to restrict who he talks to on the phone and all kinds of things like that. So how can you help? Why are we telling you this? Just to depress you? Well, I guess the best thing you can possibly do is write to him and let him know you're still out there, because that's probably the most important thing. You know, I mean, letters do mean a lot to him.
Yeah, definitely. Right? He. I think that's the one thing that really keeps him going.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's give out his address then, so that people can do that. And if anybody wants to contribute to his phone expenses, so that he can make phone calls to his friends and family, they charge an outrageous amount. They charge something like 25 cents a minute, even if he calls at night. And he has no choice. He can't call collect. He has to use his special PIN code that they offer there. I'm sure they're making a bundle off of this. Anyway, the address to write to Fiber Optic is Mark Abene. That's A-B-E-N-E. And his number, which is really his name, is 32109-054. FPC, Schuylkill, S-C-H-U-Y-L-K-I-L-L. Unit 1, P.O. Box 670, Minersville, Pennsylvania, 17954. And again, every letter counts. Every letter counts.
If you're on the internet, I'm forwarding all his internet email.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Tell us about that.
At his account, the system he used to work on before he went away, Echo. If you want to send him email, you can send it to Fiber at echonyc.com. It's P-H-I-B-E-R. At echonyc.com, and I forward it every once in a while when I get a batch.
And have there been many people sending mail?
Well, lately there have been a few, but it comes, and sometimes it's slow.
Yeah, when I talked to him on the phone, he said that the letters had fallen off. He hasn't been getting very much.
Yeah,
and that's understandable, because you know he's been in prison now since January. And you know, we all have lives to lead. We kind of forget when people aren't around. But he's been there the whole time. It's you know, I go there to visit him once every few weeks, and it's just depressing being there. It's a depressing place to be. You just feel this confinement all around you. You feel eyes always staring at you. Every movement you make is being analyzed and scrutinized. And, you know, I would not survive in a place like that for very long without getting into a whole lot of trouble because of something I did. I mean, imagine my attitude about the phone company being translated to the prison. It just wouldn't work out. And I think that's how a lot of individuals feel. And Mark is certainly an individual in every sense of the word. They're locking up the wrong people. And I think that's something that a lot of us who have listened to this whole saga realize. We just have to make sure this doesn't keep happening. All right, Walter, thanks very much for stopping in and updating us. Is there anything else you wanted to pass along as far as his condition or anything?
Well, he was one of his friends was talking about the food situation there, and I thought this was something I'd like to talk about. He was saying one day they had a bunch of rotten meat,
uh-huh.
which was already rotten, but they needed to defrost it, otherwise it would get, I suppose, even more rotten.
I see.
I don't know what the rotten threshold is they have at the prison, but they needed to defrost it really quickly, so they simply took it and they threw it in the dishwasher to defrost and served it later. Mark's actually lucky because he works in the kitchen, so he knows what not to eat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's something. And one thing he said to me, though, recently was that he's really looking forward to eating food again.
Yeah, we sneak food into him whenever we visit.
Really?
Yeah, we buy some things at some restaurants there, and we sneak it in.
Great.
You have to be careful, though, even giving him food. He got in trouble the time we visited. He got too close to his girlfriend, and he was taken aside by one of the guards. Can't really get too close to people, and you can't really look as if you're giving him anything.
This was on the more recent visit?
Yeah,
because that same exact thing happened when I visited him, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a repeat offender, I guess. Well, I can hardly wait till the day when he can get out and tell us in his own words what's happening. And also, with regards to the conference this summer, I don't know how, but he will be part of this somehow. We'll make sure that he is. So that's something else to look forward to. Okay, we're here at WBAI in New York. We'll be going another hour because this is a special fundraiser. And we need to make sure that it was a good idea to do that, to go another hour with this program. So we need to hear from listeners who will show their support for this radio program, Off the Hook, which has been coming your way for several years now, bringing you news from the, I guess, the electronic frontier. I really don't like that phrase too much. I don't know. I just don't want to picture people with cowboy hats and horses. But that's just my own personal feeling on the matter. 212-279-3400 is our phone number. Again, for a pledge of $75, you can receive a full year of 2600 Magazine and become part of this world where it's not always good news. You know, sometimes we see things happen to people that are messed up. You know, the wrong people are being locked away. People who question, people who say the wrong things or are in the wrong places are punished in kind of a weird way. It's part of the growing pains of this technology, and you know, we all have to be a part of that, because if we just sit idly by and let it happen, it's not going to work out nicely. No, it's not going to work out nicely at all. We have to take part in it. We have to voice our opinions, and we have to speak up when something is wrong. And by calling us now, you are voicing your opinion. Very definitely. You're showing your support. WBAI does not have commercials. We never did. We never will. And the reason we are able to not have commercials is because of our listeners. Because people out there call up and they pledge $20, $30, whatever it is they can afford. It adds up, and it, believe it or not, it pays for a 50,000-watt radio station in the middle of the commercial dial in the middle of New York City. It's probably the most incredible thing that's happened in the history of radio, because there are no other radio stations of this nature that can reach this many people. 212-279-3400. Call in, show your support, join the people that have called already, and make us stronger. Help keep us going. We need to raise money somehow, and if we're not going to get it from Exxon and from 9X and from all those other great institutions, we have to get it from individuals. And the individual voice, I think, is a much more powerful one than the corporate voice. 212-279-3400. Remember, we're not afraid here to say things that might get big powers upset. Powers, governmental powers, corporate powers, what have you. We speak opinions here, and we allow our listeners to speak opinions as well. And we share information. In very many ways, the WBAI community is quite similar to the hacker community. The playing field is a little bit different. One is computers and phones, the other is radio and free speech, but it's all tied together. 212-279-3400. We're up to $350, which really is not too good, I don't think. Not to chastise our listeners too much, but come on, where are you? We need to hear from you. We need to hear from you now, because if it stops at this point, it'll be a catastrophe. And then I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for us. 212-279-3400. Think of it this way. Two people calling in right now. Two people calling in and pledging $75 each and getting that full year of 2600 Magazine. That will raise the total by another $150, and that will bring us up to $500. And $500 sounds much better than $350, doesn't it? And three people calling doing that. Well, you know, it just continues. No matter what it is you pledge, it adds up. It makes the numbers sound a whole lot better. Makes the numbers really be a whole lot better. 212-279-3400. We take Visa, we take MasterCard, and we take phone calls. Hopefully 9X is processing the phone calls tonight. I didn't really mean to offend them. I'm sorry. But it was just my opinion, that's all. 212-279-3400. If you're driving, well, use your cellular phone if you have one. If not, stop at a payphone and call us from there. Use your Visa or MasterCard if you have one of those things. Otherwise, we'll simply send you a little reminder in the mail, and at your convenience, you can simply send us whatever it is that you pledge tonight. 212-279-3400. We have one call on the line. Let's make that three or four. I mean, this is prime time, right? I think the stand is over now, so everybody should be able to call up and show some support for real cutting-edge radio. 212-279-3400. Two calls on the line. Let's make that three. You know, think of the power you have. You're sitting there at home, twiddling your thumbs, wondering how you're going to change Western civilization tonight. Call 212-279-3400, and believe it or not, you'll make a difference. I mean, it's happened before. People have called up and brought us over the goal, brought us over the edge, and individuals have gotten us there. We've never taken a corporate grant. We've never taken a check from one of these multinational corporations that we're always railing against because of all the nasty things they do. And the reason we don't have to do that is because there are so many people out there that show their support. 212-279-3400. It's 11:02. Ordinarily, you hear a rebroadcast of the evening news at this point, but we're continuing an extra hour so that we can reach out to you, our listeners, and ask you to become part of this radio station. If you've never called before, this is the perfect time to become part of it. Your name won't go on any FBI list, at least I don't think so. But you'll be helping a unique radio station. You'll be helping us stay on the air. You'll be helping programs like Off the Hook continue your way. It's all up to you. It's time to make a stand. 212-279-3400. We're waiting. Calls, three more to a bingo. Thank you.
people too. God bless this country and see us through. All for one and one for all. All for one and one for all.
Okay, I hope we're all out there. 212-279-3400. It's pledge night, pledge week, pledge couple of weeks here at WBAI. 212-279-3400. Remember, for a pledge of $75, you'll get a full year of 2600 magazine, the Hacker Quarterly, the magazine that pisses off more corporations than you can throw a stick at in the course of a year. Many internal memos are passed around concerning the threat that 2600 magazine poses because of the information that is passed around within its pages. Everything from internal memorandums of huge corporations to bugs in the phone system to ways that computers are invading your privacy. Things that a lot of people don't want you to know about. You can find out. It's not all technological gibberish. A lot of it makes sense. You just have to look at it a few times. 212-279-3400. Show your support for this radio station. Keep us going. Keep us on the air. Keep our voices alive. 212-279-3400. We're closing in on the $600 mark. Remember I told you, only takes a few callers. Our goal is to hit 1,000 by the time we're finished tonight, and we're not too far from that if people keep calling. We have two calls on the line right now. 212-279-3400.
Remember the thin red line.
Remember the Odessa steps.
You wouldn't know Karl Marx from a toffee apple.
We walked 30 miles with gun and camera.
Great. Great.
You came for it.
God bless her sail and all who've bought it, and I'm in labor.
We are here today.
It's up. Is it announced?
And we're back here on Off the Hook. Normally on your radio dial from 10 to 11 o'clock on Wednesday nights here on 99.5 FM WBAI. Tonight, a special two-hour edition where we're asking for your support at 212-279-3400. I want to thank the people that called in during that break. Your support is going to make a big difference. It really will. There's no question about that. Without that spurt of calls there, I would have been very, very depressed, and the radio station would have been, I don't know, contemplating my future, I'm sure. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We need to continue. 212-279-3400. If you've ever gotten anything out of this program, please call now. Show your support. Because we're here for you. But we need for you to be here for us. That makes sense, doesn't it? 212-279-3400. Here's a story about hackers. Yeah, hacker. You might have heard about this one out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. They've put a fiberglass cow up there in a working telephone booth. They've even built a small house. So no one was shocked Monday when MIT students somehow managed to put what appeared to be a campus police car on top of the 150-foot-high dome on the university's main building. After all, MIT kids will be MIT kids. They never cause anyone trouble, but they are mischievous, said Ronald Mendez, a physical plant supervisor. It's too bad other people don't have the attitude about that, about hackers like this guy has. The car appeared about 4 a.m. on the roof of the Robert C. McLaurin building. It was actually the shell of a car attached to a wooden frame painted to look like a cruiser, said MIT Police Chief Ann Glavin. There was a flashing red light on top and a parking ticket on the windshield. Inside was a stuffed upper torso of a fake body and a box of donuts. You guys are laughing a little too hard over there. You don't know something about this, do you? I sure hope not. The culprits haven't been caught, but all fingers point to the hackers, an informal and mysterious campus group whose name predates the emergence of computer hacking. University officials said the hackers probably sneaked into the building, climbed onto the roof, and assembled the car there. School workers disassembled it by 10:30 a.m. Practical jokes have a long tradition at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and the dome of the McLaurin Building has been the choice site over the last 15 years. The building is the centerpiece of the campus, fronting the Charles River that separates Cambridge and Boston. In 1979, a life-size fiberglass cow was placed on the dome. 3 years later, a telephone booth, complete with a working phone, was installed. And in 1986, hackers built a small house, complete with door and windows. Hackers are careful not to cause permanent damage, so no one seems to mind. Let me repeat that last line for those of you that might not believe it. Hackers are careful not to cause permanent damage, so no one seems to mind. Oh, I wish that were true. The part about nobody minding, that is. Okay. Are we still on the internet? Okay, we're on the internet. If you go onto IRC, just like last week, and go into the WBAI channel, you'll see us there. And we're talking to various people on the net live here on the radio as well. And I guess you can bring the keyboard over some point and I'll chat live with these people as well just to say hi. But I really should focus my attention on the radio program now, shouldn't I? 212-279-3400 is our phone number for pledges. Please give us a call and become part of this. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I can take phone calls at the same time. Oh, okay. The technological geniuses here figure this out. We're going to be speaking with Bernie S. in a little while out of Philadelphia, who's going to be updating us on some cellular magic. And, yeah, I didn't give out the phone number. I don't know why people are calling the special line. I didn't give it out yet. I just said maybe I'll take calls. So already people are calling. Our main phone number to make a pledge, very important thing to do, 212-279-3400. We're over the $600 mark, but we still have to reach the 1,000 mark. That's our goal for tonight. 212-279-3400. Please give us a call as we move the computer equipment over here. We also have some information out of, we were just mentioning MIT, and as many of you know, there was some controversial things going on at MIT regarding computers and software piracy, quote-unquote, which we've been talking about in the past and we'll be talking about in the future. And some of you may have seen the thing on Nightline a couple of weeks ago, which was kind of funny and interesting. There's this one person on the internet, this was on the Usenet news group called comp.risks, who took exception to a lot of things that I said on that program, and I'd like to read his comments and have an opportunity to respond to that. And are we on? Okay, we're on the net there. That's great. Well, you can log me in. Oh, you don't know my password. Okay, I have to log myself in here. I'm logging in as I'm speaking on the radio. And
his password is.
Okay, that's my password there. If people can figure out what that is, more power to them. I'm going to read from this, and then I'll go on to the net after that. But if you have net access, just get on the internet and join the WBAI channel on the IRC, Internet Relay Chat Program. If you don't have access to that, don't fret, because we'll be figuring out ways for everybody to get on at some point this year or in years to come as well. But our phone lines are empty. It doesn't make me happy to see that. There should always be calls coming in, pledges coming in, so that we can continue bringing you innovative programming first on the radio. I mean, how many radio stations do you know that have internet feeds live as you speak? You may not have internet access, but through us, you do. You see? That's the way we're trying to work things, so that you can call us, say something, we can transmit it over the entire internet, and you can hear the feedback of various other people. And hopefully, we're getting some beeps there, huh? Hopefully, more people will have access in the future. We're going to do everything in our power to make that happen. But power is something that comes from all different sides, and we need your side to come through as well. 212-279-3400. Okay, now, this person, his name is Michelle Cabe, and I'm not quite sure where he is, but he's from the National Computer Security Association, so right away, you know there's going to be some differences in opinion as far as what software piracy is and is not. To refresh everybody's memory on this case, the case involves a student at MIT, David LaMaccia, who is accused of running a bulletin board on the internet through which copyrighted software was transmitted. Now, it is the contention of his lawyers that he was running a bulletin board system and should not be held accountable for things that his users were doing without his knowledge. And that's fine and true, and I agree with that. However, I think it's a bigger case than just that. I think this also brings in a lot of questions concerning what computer programs actually are. Is copying a program the same as physically stealing something? And I will go down to the wire on this and say it is not. It is different. It is not the same thing as stealing. That is what I'm trying to get across to people, and I'm getting flamed, which is a net expression, which means that somebody yells at you for a while and says nasty things to you. Well, here's part of a flame, and I'll flame back, perhaps, and we'll all flame together. Okay, this is a comment that I made that this person is quoting. On the internet, there are no tangibles. You can steal something and they no longer have it, or you can go on the computer system or computer network and copy something, but it's a copy. It's not the same as stealing. I think that's the first thing we have to get over. We can't use the same analogies that exist in the real world because this is no longer the real world. Here's the comment. Goldstein exemplifies an attitude prevalent among criminal hackers. Criminal hackers. Dehumanization of cyberspace. It seems to them that there are no people on the other end of the communications channel, only things. Stealing software in this context seems victimless. In reality, companies are losing money and people are suffering monetary losses. Well, if I can break in for a second. If you keep saying stealing software over and over again, even if your argument doesn't make any sense, as long as you keep saying stealing software, people are going to think you're stealing software. But you're not stealing software, okay? This is not stealing. You are not taking something and removing it from somebody else. That is a definition of stealing. This is something else. I'm not saying the action does not cause harm to somebody at some point if nothing is done. And by that I mean if nothing is done to compensate the people that write the software. Let's continue with this. Some small companies can go out of business entirely if they cannot get sufficient revenue to cover the months of grinding, often poorly paid work by their employees. Human beings have smaller salaries or even lose their jobs because of software theft. Cyberspace is as much a part of the real world as speech, books, and telephones. No one would argue that stealing a book is a victimless crime, or would they? Some unscrupulous bookstores rip the covers off books, return the covers to the publisher for a credit, and then sell the mutilated books with not a penny going to the people who wrote, edited, printed, bound, and marketed the book. All fine and dandy, and people get murdered in Southeast Asia, too. It's got nothing to do with the issue. The issue is not about people stealing books and ripping off the authors and things like that. This is about typing a command on a computer and copying a file from location A to location B. I am saying it is not the same thing as theft. It's copying, and if that's the only way that computer programs are existing, if somebody can do that and get the exact same thing that they get if they pay $10,000 for a program, then something is wrong with the way we're doing it. You can't make the person into a criminal and say they just stole $10,000 because they hit a keystroke. It's not the same thing. We have to get that through our heads. Okay, continuing to this person's comments. Chris Wallace, who was the host of Nightline, protested. Actually, he didn't protest. He interjected, but that's the way this person is looking at it. He protested, what's the difference between copying a program, which I'm then going to appropriate and use, and stealing? Goldstein continued, it's not stealing because you're not depriving somebody of it. We're presuming that people are not selling this material. This is something that someone is simply copying to either examine, to analyze, what have you. There's different reasons why somebody would legitimately copy something. Here's the comment. Criminal hackers and software thieves miss the key point about intellectual property or confidential information. It isn't the copying that causes harm, it's the owner's loss of control over a valuable resource. Software companies sell a license to use a product, not the product itself. Software thieves steal the ability to enter into a contract with the user. It is the lost revenue that is in question, not the extra copy itself. Well, I think this pretty much lays it out on the table. This is about control. This is about somebody wanting to tell you that they have the right to keep you from typing keys on your keyboard on your own computer system. And they want to make it a crime for you to disobey them. Software companies sell a license to use a product, not the product itself. I think right there that tells you there's something wrong here. You can't sell things that aren't tangible and expect people to simply fall into step. And and just pay whatever it is you say to pay and not do things that are logical, like make copies for themselves and examine copies that other people have. It's human nature to do things like that. If you wish to have a system where people pay a certain amount of money for software, you have to have it so people want to, so that people want the original, so that they get something out of it, so that it's not the exact same thing as copying. I mean, computer programs are designed for exactly this purpose, and to tell people that they're not is just simply wrong. Okay, Goldstein said the problem is that somebody can put a particular value on a piece of software and say this costs $10,000, and then somebody copies it with a single keystroke and they're charged with stealing $10,000. Goldstein implies that it is illegitimate to apply whatever price the creator wishes to a product or service, but a producer normally charges what the market will bear, a price which maximizes profit. Bingo, that is it exactly. It's an arbitrary figure, and whatever they make money on is what they wind up charging. But what does that do for the people that can't afford it in the first place? I mean, that kind of mentality might work just fine when you're selling it to Madison Avenue companies and things like that. Yeah, you'll make a fair return, but what about some poor end user somewhere that can only afford to pay a few dollars for a software package? They have to do without. They don't ever get the technology in the first place, assuming they play by these random rules that are set out. So they never get access to the technology, and the big companies do get access because they can afford to pay whatever price is laid on the table. And we have a nice, uneven society of haves and have-nots. It's just not right. Okay. Continuing. Too high for perceived value and the market chooses alternatives, or they develop by less greedy competitors. Too low and the producer risks going out of business. The other wrong suggestion in this passage is the idea that the ease with which an act is performed somehow mitigates responsibility. So a single keystroke copy is more of an excuse for stealing software than a 20-character command. If a vandal demolishes a building by attacking it with an ice pick over a 5-year period, are we expected to perceive his act as worse than if he had blown it up by pressing a button to explode a nuclear bomb? Once again, Goldstein confuses technology with morality. I don't think so here, because I think the issue is the access to the means that you are given by being handed a button in the first place. Yeah, you know, somebody can press a button and blow up a city with a nuclear bomb, but, you know, I'd sure like to know why somebody has that ability. Why are we giving out buttons to people if they're not expected to press them occasionally? You know, you don't give out buttons to people to explode cities because we know somebody probably will, and it's a damn stupid thing to do. So it's also a stupid thing to expect someone to attach the same value to a single keystroke as they would to something that is actually physically worth $10,000. It's not the same. I don't know how many times I can say it, but I'll keep saying it until somebody listens. In a discussion on the extent of copyright violation, Goldstein explained his view of why programs get copied. Computer programs are designed to be copied, so naturally people are going to copy them. If we don't want people to copy them, then we make them so they are uncopyable or so that people want the original. Here's the comment. The familiar fallacy of moral possibility. This error consists of believing that if something is easy, it must be right. The corollary is that the victim is to blame for being victimized. Thus, if a bank robber... These real-world analogies really are wearing on me. If a bank robber uses a howitzer to blow a hole in the wall of a bank, it serves the bank properly for having failed to encase its building in a 3-foot-thick titanium beryllium alloy. So software manufacturers should impose the endless nuisances of copy protection on their products, even though these methods increase costs, enrage consumers, and don't work anyway because little creeps find ways of countering every single programmable technique invented to date. Just because it's possible to steal doesn't make it right. Here's the stealing again. If you keep saying we're stealing, someone eventually is going to believe that it's stealing. It's not stealing. It's copying. Copying is not stealing. It's totally different. Goldstein explained that many people tape record albums illegally. From the band's point of view, though, it's a good thing that their music is being distributed. And that's how I think we should look at copywritten software. The software is getting out. I don't think Microsoft is going to go out of business, and they're probably the company that has copied the most. Here we have Goldstein taking up the unpaid position of marketing director for musicians as well as software companies. Decisions on how to market a product or a service are rightfully the responsibility of the owners of that product or service. Criminal hackers have no moral justification for interfering with those decisions. Well, I think if you really want to contribute something to either the computer world, the music world, the writing world, what have you, then the most important thing is for your work to get out. It won't get out if you overprice it. It won't get out if you limit circulation to only certain people. Maybe that's what you want. But assuming you want your product to get out, then maximum exposure is probably the best thing that could happen. What we need to figure out is a way of compensating the people that write software. Perhaps, I mean, there are lots of ideas kicking around. Perhaps one idea is to have some sort of a tariff on hardware, which is something that is obviously tangible. You can't steal that without committing a crime in everybody's eyes. So why not have a particular portion of hardware sales go towards compensating whatever software manufacturers are deemed worthy of accepting that? And we'd have to, of course, argue about how that would be applied. But I just think that would be a lot more reasonable than attaching these random numbers and then expecting people to treat them the same way as tangibles. I mean, I sympathize with people out there that are spending lots of time writing these things and expecting to be compensated. They should be compensated. I think what is flawed is the logic that that makes people feel they are committing a crime of some sort. All right, we could go on about this for hours and hours, obviously, but I don't think we have all that much more time to do this. 212-279-3400. We're over the 700 mark now, which means we have less than $300 to go to get to 1,000. And please be a part of that that $300 if you have not called already. 212-279-3400. For a pledge of $75, you can get a copy of 2600 for a full year. That's four issues. We come out quarterly. And it will be delivered to wherever it is you want it to be delivered to, in a plain brown envelope with no mention of the fact that you're getting the hottest hacker magazine around in it anywhere. So you don't have to worry about your postman stealing it, or your parents getting angry at you, or your children getting angry at you, or what have you. 212-279-3400 for a pledge of $75. You will get that for an entire year. And you also get the WBAI folio, which you really need to be able to figure out what's on when. I mean, I needed a copy to figure out when I was on, and I'm sure listeners need copies of that to figure out what's on around the clock 7 days a week. 212-279-3400. While we're offering the 2600 premium for $75, we also have a whole list of other things that our volunteers will be happy to help you with. Any pledge is appreciated. Any pledge is welcome. We take Visa. We take MasterCard. And we're sitting around at 212-279-3400. This is the spring marathon, where we need to raise a certain amount to pay for all the bills that we always have coming in here for transmitter maintenance and electricity and everything except salaries, because we don't pay people on the radio here. Unlike those other radio stations. 212-279-3400. Nobody on the line yet. We're waiting for that call to come in. We're on the internet. And where are we now? We're on the WBAI channel. Okay, let's see how many people are on the WBAI channel. 16 people. Okay. I would like to ask people out there that are on the internet right now to reply on the net and tell us where you are calling from, and tell us, I guess, what city you're in, what state you're in. All right, we have Co-op City in the Bronx. We have Helsinki, Finland? I don't think so. Although they would have to be listening, wouldn't they? Oh, they're rattling across here. Cliffside Park, New Jersey. New Haven, Connecticut. Throgs Neck in the Bronx. Farmingdale, Long Island. Cliffside Park. Queens. Bayside. All right. A lot of people out there. And they're all on the net. They're all communicating with us on the internet right now to our studios. And I'm going to ask them on the net here. Has everybody pledged yet? Let's see what kind of response we get. 212-279-3400. I'm going to type the number in here, too, so that it goes out. Of course, this is going to people that aren't listening, too, as well, that happen to be on this channel. People from anywhere in the world could be part of this right now. This person swears that he will. Okay, well, let's hear you call now. Come on. 212-279-3400. I pledged last time. I can't do it every time. Okay, I can accept that. That's if you pledged last time, you can be exempt. You're righteous, and I will not be nagging you. But if you did not pledge last time, Come on, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from pledging this time? Okay. 212-279-3400. Again, we need volunteers as well, so if you want to volunteer time instead of money, or in addition to money, that's fine too. You can call us at 212-279-3400 to become part of the process in that particular regard. You see, everybody helps out in whatever way they can, and everyone has a way to help out. 212-279-3400. We have two calls on the line. Let's make that a couple more, and we'll be able to get going, talk to Bernie S. in Philadelphia about the latest cellular thing. Okay, all kinds of things being discussed here. It's going by way too fast. WBAI is free speech, and that's really what it's all about. We are definitely free speech. There's no other way to say that. You know, I'm thinking on this thing, we can actually ask people that aren't even listening to the radio to support the radio. People in all different parts of the world would value this radio station. I was in Berlin once, and I found a book on WBAI in German, which I found to be really amazing that people over there had heard about us. This is a world-famous radio station. There just aren't very many left that continue to bring non-commercial alternative programming. So it's a valued thing, you know. Maybe somebody in California would want to support something in New York because it's getting free speech out someplace. But those of you within the sound of my voice can definitely benefit from this place, if not from this show. I mean, there are probably those of you out there that are sputtering with rage right now from the things I just said about software. Well, you don't have to agree with me. You know, you can come on and say your piece at some point, and we can get into a nice discussion about it. But there's probably something on this radio station that you do agree with, something that you feel is a good thing to have, and something that you could not get anywhere else. That's why it's important for you to make that phone call, 212-279-3400. Please become a part of this radio station. Help us keep going. Help keep us where we are in the middle of the commercial dial. I think it's just great to have a non-commercial station in the middle of the commercial dial. We changed the topic. Okay, that's great. The topic is Make a Pledge to WBAI, and that means that's showing up everywhere everywhere around the world from people that are looking at the topics of various channels in IRC. Again, we're on the Internet Relay Chat, which is part of the Internet. If you have Internet access, join us there. We're in the WBAI channel. And boy, there's all kinds of interesting discussions. AT&T talks about all the great things we are going to see in the next few years, but who is really going to be able to afford it? Very good question. They have these amazing commercials where they say we're going to find a cure for every disease in the world, and the company that's going to bring it to you is AT&T. Well, they can make empty promises like that and get credit for things that don't exist. But here at WBAI, we're not taking credit for things we haven't done. We're not taking credit for things that that are in the future. We're taking credit for the past. We stand on our record. We stand on the present, what we exist as now. And that's what we ask you to support us for. 212-279-3400. If you've gotten something out of this program in the past, if you're listening now and not feeling the urge to switch to Letterman, well,